Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Exodus chapter number 18. Exodus chapter number 18. Don Clark headed to Georgia today because his father is having a heart catheterization tomorrow and has been in the hospital a number of days. And I know Brother Don would appreciate your prayers for him. It's a difficult thing to be in authority over someone's life for a very long time, to have directed them in every path that they choose, to have been their quote-unquote hero, if you will, in some cases, and so forth, and then to have them walk down an aisle and all of a sudden they're their own boss and you don't have anything to say anymore. Some of you are looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. That's because you hadn't been there yet, all right? I'm just kidding. For some of you, you haven't been there yet. For some of you, you have. Now, maybe it wasn't that difficult for you. Maybe it just didn't matter to you a bit. You were glad to get them out of the house, all right? I don't know, but it is a transition when our children marry, establish their own homes, and our role changes with them. Now, we don't cease to be a mom and dad, but the way we interact with them drastically changes, whether we like it or not. And if it doesn't, you're probably not going to have a relationship very long with them. That's just the truth of the matter. It took me a while to realize, as a son, that my dad would always be my dad. Now, I know you're saying, wow, Pastor, that's real brilliant, you know. But that my dad would always view me as his son rather than a man, if you will. Now, my dad does a good job of that. I'm not saying that. But no matter what, I'm always their son. I remember a number of years ago, I said to my dad, Daddy, could I talk to you as a pastor and not as a son? And he said, no. Okay, that's the end of that subject, right? It's hard to interact in those roles. And those of you that have kids that are now married, never done, made a decision that you thought, oh boy, that is not a good idea. Anybody ever had that? Some of you are thinking, I don't want to admit that or not, you know. We have. But the truth is, when we got married, we made some of those same dumb decisions, didn't we? And our parents were probably going, oh, man. So how do we parent adult children who are now on their own and the roles have changed? Everything's different now. So far, we've had two girls married, and it won't be real long till a third's married. So I can only relate as the girls have related. I'm sure Caleb's going to be somewhat different. Number one, I won't have to worry about decorations being all over my house. That's the first thing, all right? Which is, I can handle the rehearsal dinner. We just won't have to deal with that other stuff, right? But it's been difficult to have your girls, for instance, come to you and ask all their spiritual questions, and all of a sudden, they're now going to their husbands. Rightfully so. And it was hard for me to realize, whoa, time out. And my girls can tell you, as a general rule, when they ask me a question now, I will say to them, have you asked your husband that question? And is it okay for me to answer that question? Because I'm no longer the primary spiritual leader in their life. Their husbands are. And that role for me then has changed. And that's sometimes hard to handle. I know a lot of parents who do not handle it well. And as a result, their kids want nothing to do with them. And I don't think you want that either. So I'd like to look at Exodus chapter 18 and give us some truths for parenting adult children. I am still learning this. And let me say this too. This material is not original with me. I don't do this very often. But it is such tremendous material. I'm going to make it my own, if you will. But the truths of it, I'm taking and adapting to us tonight. So Exodus chapter 18, you know the context here. This is Jethro and Moses, their interaction. Moses is now 80 years old. He's not a young buck anymore. He's 80 years old. He's married to one of Jethro's daughters. Jethro is bringing him his daughter because Moses has been in Egypt getting the children of Israel. Now they're at Mount Sinai and they're meeting together. That's where this story picks up. Look, if you would, at verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. And then the story unfolds, and we're not going to read the chapter. We'll get to it as we come along. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask in Him to help us tonight as we open these truths. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, these are practical truths from this passage Jethro was able to offer to Moses. And we pray that we'll listen to these things, and that'll help us in our relationship with our adult children. And those of us who in the room, perhaps there's some who don't have adult children, but they will eventually. And I pray that You'd help them to be able to apply these truths as well. And we'll thank You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at a number of things here this evening. Number one, I think we find from this passage of Scripture, invest the energy to be in their presence. Invest the energy to be in their presence. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took the time to bring him his wife and two sons. He could have sent them. He could have sent a servant to do it. But Jethro himself invests the time to come and be with Moses in everything that he was doing. And Moses was, at this point, a pretty busy guy. He was leading 2 to 3 million griping people where they didn't want to go, right? That's a pretty big job to do. And yet Jethro would like to be with him, and so he invests some time to be in their presence. And it's going to take some time to do that. As your children marry off, you're going to have children perhaps that are quite a ways away. Just scanning the room, I see people who have children in a number of different states. Brother Bob, you have kids in 2 different states, Missouri and in Virginia, I believe. Is that right? North Carolina, that's true. Yeah, they do live right on the other side of the line. That's good, yeah. Brother Billy now has a daughter that's here tonight, happens to be, but she is living in Illinois. Are you actually in Illinois or Indiana? In Illinois. We have a daughter that's in Virginia and one very soon to be in California. And we could go on and on. As I look across the room, we have them that are rather spread out. Brother Wes, perhaps at this point, has kids spread out more than anybody, just about, I think. You got one in Arizona, one in Florida, one in Wisconsin, one in Georgia, and some here. So he's got the record for tonight, all right, in that department. So what my point is, as we expand, if you will, our families, and they go around to other places, we're going to take some investments to be in their presence. It's not going to be natural anymore. We used to wake up in the morning and all our kids were there. They're not there anymore. So it's going to take a little bit of time for us to continue to have influence. And actually, Brother Barry, you may have the record on miles. Yeah, you're the farthest away. That's very true. I didn't think about that all the way over there in Russia. But anyway, it'll take a little bit for us to continue to interact with them and develop a relationship with them. It's going to take some investment of our energy. Number two, look at verse 7 of this passage of Scripture. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. Number two, follow the respectful laws of etiquette. Now, in this passage, it's specifically referring to the way Moses treated his father-in-law. He was an elder, and Moses did obeisance to him and kissed him. And Moses understood the relationship with Jethro, but Jethro also understood the relationship that Moses had in the presence of the children of Israel. They each asked each other of their welfare. So understand that when we have children and we walk into their home, for instance, it's not our home. It's their home. We were in Virginia a couple of weeks ago, and we had a picnic and so forth, and we were getting ready to eat. And typically, it would be something that I would, you know, gather everybody around, let's pray for the food and so forth. And that wasn't my job. That wasn't my place then. Why? Well, this was Dan's home. It wasn't my home anymore. Now, I was a guest in his home, and I know my daughter would argue that I was a guest, but nevertheless, I don't live there permanently, for which they're grateful. And so he is the man of that home. I'm not, and I need to understand that. And of course, I still have my home, and they come to my home, and I'm the man there, and so forth. You just need to understand those things, and that's different than it's been before. Number three, get the tail end of verse 7. And they came into their tent, and they talked about each other's welfare. Verse 8, Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. That had been quite a rehearsal, wouldn't it? I mean, he's covering a lot of ground of what God had done. And all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. In other words, he beat all their gods. He handled each one of them. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before the Lord. Number three, express interest in the details of their lives. Express interest in the details of their lives. So Jethro asked him, hey, what's going on? And Moses gives him a chronicle of what's happening in their particular lives. And wow, what a story it was, wasn't it? Can you imagine Moses' viewpoint of all that had happened in the nation of Egypt? Well, God sent this plague and da-da-da and all the way through. And then he split the Red Sea and he did this. And he just gives him that whole chronicle. And Jethro not only listens to it, but he rejoices in what God has done in the life of Moses. We have to be interested in the details of our children's lives. Now, we got those when they were at home, and we typically knew what was happening because it was going on all around us. But it's going to, again, invest some time and energy to listen to those details. Hey, what's happening in your ministry, son? Or what's happening in your job? And how are the grandbabies? And da-da-da, and so forth and so on. And the grandbaby questions are pretty easy to ask, right? I used to, when I pulled up to my mom and dad's house, I'd just sit in the car. It didn't matter anyway. I was going to be last to get a hug, so I might as well just sit there for a while. Then I didn't feel so bad, right? I get the grandkids, and then my wife, and then me. I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? I brought all them here, just in case you're wondering. You know, I started this whole thing. I am your son. But that, nevertheless, I understand all that now. But be interested in the details of their lives. And I think that's important to them, that they understand, hey, this is what's happening with me now and what God is doing in our lives. Letter D. Our number four, verses 13 and 14. He says, And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning till evening? Number four, ask questions about their lives. Ask questions. So, Jethro comes to Moses, and of course Moses is having to continue the process of which he's managing, leading, if you will, the nation of Israel. And so he says, what are you doing? Why are you sitting here all day long and before these people? And he said, this is what's happening. The people have to bring me laws and so forth. So he asked some questions. All right, Moses, what's happening here and why is this taking you all day long to accomplish this? Maybe Jethro missed something. Maybe he didn't have some truth that he needed to have, so he's wanting to get the information before he goes forward with what's going to happen in this passage of Scripture. Number five, he listened to the answers. Verses 15 to 16, And Moses said unto his father-in-law, Because the people come unto me to inquire of God, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So he asks the question, what are you doing here? And Moses says, well, the people have a question to ask about a judgment in the law and so forth and so on. And so they come to me and I answer that question and give them my judgment, if you will, on what's taking place here. All right? So he listens to the answer of what Moses is trying to communicate to him. Then number six, and I know I'm moving through a couple of these real quick here, as it's really important, then we'll look at it as a whole. Verses 17 and 18. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." So he's an outsider, if you will, looking in. And letter number 6, he expresses concerns. "Okay, Moses, this is not going to work. Okay, let's just, if you will, do the math. There's 2 to 3 million people and one of you. That load's not going to work for you or for the people. Let's say that a quarter of them had problems. You still have a whole lot of people that got to come and stand before Moses." And the Bible tells us that it was all day long they did that. Now, Moses apparently didn't understand all that was taking place, probably not looking beyond where this would really take him in the future as the children of Israel grew even. But Jethro, his father-in-law, is able to do that. And he begins to express some concerns to him. "Moses, this is a bad idea for you and for your people. Let me give you some suggestions here, if you will. Look at verse 19 at the very beginning. He says, "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee," what's the next word? "Counsel." Now, there's a big difference between counsel and command. Okay? Now, when my children are/were at home, okay, because I still have one that is at home, technically for a few more days, I got another one. I'm going to wear her out this week, too, telling her what to do. So I only got a few more days to do it right now. I'm just kidding. When I told them to do something, it wasn't a suggestion. You know, I said to my son today, "Son, the trash needs to be taken out." That wasn't, I mean, if you feel like it, if you think it's a good idea. No, that was a command, all right? Now, if Dan or Bobby comes to my house, I don't say to him, "Son, the trash needs to be taken out. You can go do it now," all right? It doesn't work that way, all right? We've switched from the command to the counsel. And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, says, "I'm going to offer you some counsel." And that's, guys, I'm just telling you, that's hard to do sometimes. We're used to telling them what to do to protect them and so forth and so on, but it's a different role now. And so he offers him some counsel. And I think this is the point here in verse 7. Don't try to take over. It's really not your place to take over. Jethro wasn't in charge of the children of Israel. Moses was placed in that leadership position. Jethro could offer counsel, and I think that's wonderful for him to listen to it. But he wasn't given the task of leading these people. That was Moses' job. But he could offer some counsel. So don't try to take over. Number 8, then explain suggestions. Look at the rest of verses 19 through 22. He says, "And God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." So Jethro says, here's a suggestion. Why don't you divide the people up into smaller groups so that they are accountable collectively and many people bear the burden? And if there's a significant issue, then you can deal with that significant issue. But on the everyday level, if you will, let the people handle it. And he breaks them down all the way to rulers of tens. So you had 10 people and someone was in charge at that level. Then you had 50 people and someone was in charge at that level. 100, someone was in charge at that level. Thousands, someone was in charge at that level. Now, generally, though the numbers are a little bit different, generally this is the way the military operates today. They break it down into small groups, and different men are responsible, and you just do your job. And that way, the entire burden doesn't fall on one person. Everyone takes care of their responsibilities. That scene, for instance, we'll be at the Wilds in a couple of weeks. That scene, the way the Wilds runs their camp, where there's a camp counselor in charge of about eight teenagers. So you can get 800 teenagers on a ball field playing a game in a matter of minutes. Why? Because everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Each of those individual people that are handling those eight young people. And Jethro suggests to Moses that he do the same thing. Now, we may not have a son or a daughter who's in charge of a couple million people and so forth and so on, but we may. And that's not really the point, the technicalities of what he's doing. The point is that Jethro offered to him a suggestion to solve a problem rather than a command to solve a problem. Then I want you to notice number 9, what Jethro does. Look at verse 23. If thou shalt do this thing, and God... What's the next word? Okay, do you see where the authority really lies? Jethro offered counsel, but God had the authority to offer the command. Moses, here's what I think would be a great idea to share with the people what all is happening. But if God command thee so, if you do this thing, if you listen to my counsel, and it's commanded by God, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. Number 9, point them to God for directions. Ultimately, Jethro said, here are some suggestions, but I want you to understand, I understand that it's God that's going to give the command. If God didn't tell you to do this, it would be the wrong thing for you to do. The truth is, there's a point when we have to turn over our children to the authority that's rightfully over them, and that's God. We're no longer over them when they become adults. God is, and we point them to God. Some of the things we've talked about, it, for instance, a couple of weeks ago in the Box of Freedom, slowly expanding their opportunities to function so that they eventually come completely under the authority of God to function, because that's who they're ultimately under anyway. There's going to be a time when we're no longer going to be able to command them. We're only going to be able to counsel them. But God always has the opportunity to command them. And Jethro puts him back underneath God's authority. He points them to God. And then verses 24 through 27. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. They judged the people at all seasons, and the hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his own way into his own land. Number 10, take your hands off of it. Once you give it to God and say, here's a suggestion, take your hands off. Jethro didn't stay around and try to continue to tell Moses what to do. He departed to his own house, understanding that he had given the counsel that he needed to give, and now it was under the command of God, and God had commanded Moses to do this, and now his hands were off of the process. These are steps that I think are difficult for us at times to handle, but things that will greatly help us. Now, I personally, okay, I'm just going to give you a personal opinion here, okay? I personally don't believe that once our children leave our home that we no longer have any influence over them. I also don't believe that we can't offer them suggestions. I think it's wise for us to. But we need to realize that once those suggestions are offered, we back out of it and it's no longer our choice anymore. It's their choice. And if they make a decision that we would disagree with, by the way, they're going to. They're going to make decisions that way. And whether it's right or wrong, they have to give an account to God. We no longer have to give an account to that. We have to release that. And some of those decisions are tough decisions. I remember we moved from Orlando, Florida to Louisiana. I think it was close to 1,000 miles. I can't remember the exact mileage, but it was a long, long ways. Both my mother-in-law and my parents said, are you sure? Because that's a long ways from home. Are you sure that's where God wants you? And, you know, da-da-da. And they gave me some things to think through. And ultimately, I made the decision, this is where God wants us. And I believe it was where God wanted us. And sometimes those decisions are difficult that we just have to say, okay, I've given you my counsel. Now, I'm going to back away from it and allow the Lord to do His job. And hopefully, you'll have a relationship with your children where they'll solicit that counsel before you even have to do that. And that's a wonderful blessing to be able to do that as well. But we have to get to that point that we're now a counselor rather than a commander, if you will. So let me just review these very quickly. Invest the energy to be in their presence. It's going to take some time and energy. It may take, you know, a plane ticket or a phone call, or you're going to have to work on that relationship more than you did when they were in your home, per se. Follow the respectful laws of etiquette. Remember where you are, where they are in the process. Express interest in the details of their lives. What's going on with them and what's God doing in their lives? Ask questions about situations. Then listen to their answers. You could say in that aspect, you're earning the right to be heard. Even as a father, you're earning that right to be heard. Express your concerns to them. Hey, have you thought about this or that or whatever? And do not try to take over. It's your decision, whatever you want to make. Explain the suggestions. Here's what I would suggest. Point them to God for directions, and then take your hands off of it. Interesting, when my dad was here in March, we were looking for a second vehicle that we really needed. And we had saved some money, and I'd found a pickup truck that I really thought was probably the one I'd like to buy. It was a nice pickup, and I'd looked at it and researched it and da-da-da. But I wanted to wait for my dad. My dad can kind of sniff those things out. He's just got that sense about him, you know. So we went and looked at it and drove it and so forth. And my dad was pretty quiet about it, and I thought, it's not good when daddy's pretty quiet about it, you know. And after about a day, he said to me, son, it's your decision, but I don't think I'd buy that pickup. He said, I'm not even sure I can put a finger on it, but I just don't think I'd buy that pickup. And so I said something to my wife. I said, you know, daddy's a little uncomfortable with this pickup. And she said, I'm uncomfortable with it too. And it wasn't too long after that God brought us what we think was the perfect vehicle for us. And immediately, we all knew. Everybody knew in the process. My dad didn't command me, you can't buy that pickup. But he did give me some advice to say, hey, son, you know, maybe you ought to rethink this. And I think children in the room, whether you're adult or otherwise, would be wise to listen to your parents. Believe it or not, they've actually probably already been through what you're about to go through. I know they're old and they're probably senile, but they probably actually have learned some things along the line. And you would be wise to listen to them. But ultimately, you're going to have to make that decision. The children in here, even some of you adult children, that, okay, is this what God wants me to do? And so I hope this is helpful to you. I certainly won't answer all your questions about it, but it certainly helped me to be able to say, ooh, I don't think I did that one real well as we interact with our adult children. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for these truths tonight. Not original with me, but they helped me, and I hope they'll help our people. And may we honor you as we seek to still influence those children who are even out of our homes, as we seek to try to be the godly influence in their hearts and lives. And those of us in this room who still have parents living, and that's a privilege, and I'm grateful for it, may we understand this process as well. And may we honor and glorify you ultimately. May we have many generations to come that will rise up and serve you. Lord, we're burdened that we have generations after generations that second and third are walking away from God, and we pray that that not be the case. Lord, if there's folks in here tonight that have made some of these mistakes, may they acknowledge that. Perhaps they need to go to their children and say, hey, Mom, Dad, we really messed this up here, or whatever it may be. And may these instructions be helpful for them long range. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name, we pray.